here on 1-2 Radio. We are changing the way we manifest in the world. Whether you are here live or on a replay or on demand, I am so excited that you could be here with me today, and I thank you very much. It's wonderful Wednesday. I hope everyone is doing well. I am super excited about today's show and actually nervous. I haven't been nervous for a show in a while, so it feels kind of good. So I'm excited. And for those of you who have popped by my show for the first time, we do have a private Facebook chat room, and you can comment and ask questions, and we could try to answer you on the air. But to get into our chat, you must have Facebook. And if you go to 12radio.com, and on the left menu bar, you'll see the chat button. If you click there, you'll be redirected to our 12 Radio Facebook group. And my wonderful producer, Ade, will let you in. Thank you, Ade, for producing my show. And he was my guest last week. So if you missed that show, it's in the archives. And I highly recommend you listen to it. It was a great show. You guys know I do a Magic Monday message every week. And this week's is My Glass is Full. And it's a reminder to not think of our glass as either half empty or half full, but we want our glass to be completely full, filled with love and joy and gratitude and abundance and good health. But we're always searching for what we think will make us happy, right? What's coming next? But what about what we already have and all the blessings that are already in our lives? We forget to feel blessed for what we have. We are always in that space of wanting. And living in wanting means living in lack or of not having what we think we want that will fill us up. So this is just a little reminder to remind yourself to fill up your own cup. Fill it with all the love you can muster for yourself. So that was this week's Magic Monday message. Now, I have a returning guest on my show today. he was on my show in March, and I can't remember the actual date. I think it was the end of March, but it's in the archives. But anyway, Reverend Dr. Gregory Possman is a trance channel, and he did a channeling from Kuan Yin on my other show, very unexpected. And today he's going to be doing channeling live here on the show. I do not know who he's going to be channeling. That individual, that light being, is going to be the one that feels like he or she, it, whatever you want to call it, needs to give the messages we need to hear. So I am open to whoever comes through. And just briefly, I want to give you guys a little background on Gregory. He channels over 40 light beings, including Sananda, Archangel Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel, as well as Master Teacher Spirit Kuan Yin, Mary, five members of the Council of Shambhala, and others. He also channels the Palladians, the Syrians, and the Venusians. He performs workshops throughout the world and offers recorded, channeled, private sessions by phone. My sister just had a reading with him last week. And each month, he does a free channeled message, and it's available on his website, gregorypossman.com. I have the link, which I will post in our Facebook chat, of May's message, where he channeled a message from Archangel Michael that I listened to actually early this morning. It was great. So he's back. And like I said, I'm not sure who's going to want to come through. I'll leave it up to them to choose. And if you guys have questions, please try to keep them for all of us universally. I have a list of questions, and I kind of wanted to cover all of us. He does do private readings. If you have some personal messages that you want to get from Gregory, I highly recommend you book a session with him. But today we're going to try to keep it to some universal messages that benefit all of us. Welcome back, Gregory. Thanks for being here with me today again. I'm so excited.
Thanks, Melissa. It's my pleasure.
always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to be with you and around your energy. Okay, so I asked you the last time about what you're working on manifesting, but I think a better question for you today is, since you have so much experience with the other side, what do you or they wish to see manifest for us on this planet as a collective?
The best. I think the simple answer is the best, and that would be absolute peace, harmony, peaceful cohabitation amongst all beings, not just human beings, but all beings. And I believe that's what the divine blueprint is. At least that's what they keep telling me.
Okay. Well, that's a good message. I mean, I hope we manifest that collectively too. That would be great. All right. So for those of you who have like showed up for the first time and they're listening to this show and they're like, what are they talking about? Why don't you share a little bit about what trans channeling is?
Well, basically, it's a matter of going into kind of an altered state of consciousness. For me, that's very easy. And different people do it different ways, but I basically close my eyes and I just sit and wait. And whichever being is going to present themselves or come through, I feel a little bit of pressure around my shoulders and my neck, and then immediately I know who it is. And then I just release my consciousness and let them come through and say, speak whatever they need to say. So I know that's an oversimplification. Mm-hmm. But again, I've been doing this for 27 years, so it's kind of like brushing my teeth. It's pretty easy for me.
Right.
And I actually believe, and I think I said this in our last show, that everyone is a channel of some kind, shape, or another. People paint, people sing, people channel love, they channel mm-hmm. messages. And I think we're all channels, and it's just a question of what our gifts are and how we use them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I totally know what you're saying. Do you remember the first time it happened for you that you maybe asked yourself, what is this? What is that that's coming through me? And that you started maybe wondering, am I channeling another being? Like, how did that happen?
Well, it was my desire because I was told that I could do this and that I had decided to do this before I was born. And I was given that message through a channeling that came through my teacher. And long story short, what I heard were about two or three sentences that I said in my head. And just prior to that happening, I had seen some blue energy because I had my eyes closed and I saw that in my mind. And that had never happened before, so I knew that something different was taking place. But in order to get to that place, and this is appropriate for our subject today, mm-hmm. connecting with the other side, prior to doing that, I had to release a lot of unexpressed emotions, mm-hmm. that being hatred, pretty much self-hatred, also releasing a lot of grief, a lot of unhappiness, a lot of sadness, specifically around lifetimes that I had already experienced. And for whatever reason, I began dreaming about some of those lifetimes and seeing them in visions, and they caused a lot of sadness, but that sadness had not been expressed. And by expressing those emotions and getting that out, I think I cleared myself in some way, shape, or form for this process to happen.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm assuming that you needed to clear yourself, you know, the vessel so that these messages could come through. Because if you're filled with anger and rage and hatred and pain, how are you open to be receiving these love and light messages?
That's true. And if you think about your belief system in terms of who these guides and messengers are, that would be the first step in any recommendations I would make, is to determine what you imagine their energy is like. And if their energy is a very high frequency and ours is a rather dense or lower frequency in the human body, what has to happen is a kind of lock. So you have to imagine them lowering their frequency and us raising ours. And when we raise our frequency and that lock can take place, then you have the ability for that transmission to occur.
Right, right. It's like anything. It's like you, if you're, even if you're just, you're creating something in your personal space, like you have to be open to receiving those downloads of your creativity coming from, and we are going to talk about the higher self, coming from, like I like to say, the higher self or spirit or from another creative space. What would you say is the higher self? How can we define the higher self? What has been shown to you about our higher selves?
I'm going to say that our higher self is the gap between our soul and our physical body. So since we're spatial beings and we see things in that perspective, if you imagine a kind of gap or maybe an intermission, an area of energy between say your crown chakra, just for the sake of argument, and whatever your soul or light body would look like, that would be a way to determine what is that higher self. It's just a kind of image, and everyone is different. Everyone sees it differently. Many people experience their soul through the heart. Some people experience it through the mind. Other people experience it in other places in their body. So it just depends on each of us. I really think that we are looking for some empirical truth that doesn't exist. In other words, show me the path, show me the way, show me the right way to do it. And the right way to do it is your way. So when you look for a way that matches what you're doing, you sort of latch on to that and say, oh, yes, that's the right way. But the right way is your way. So it's a very individualized thing. And I think it's a very individualized description or definition of what the higher self is.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you counsel people to connect to their higher self? Like, how do we do that?
The first thing that I think is important is trust. Trusting that the higher self is even there. A lot of people have had lifetimes fraught with problems, challenges, and difficulties. And so many of them come into my space with a feeling that they're victims and that they are not the creator of their reality. That's impossible because their reality has been so fraught with challenges and difficulties. So imagine all of those things being opportunities to learn. They're lessons. And as you start seeing them as lessons, instead of being so participative in the process, you begin to see from a higher perspective, perhaps, that these are dramas in our lives that create opportunities for us to learn. So when we take the drama out of it and we start looking at the opportunity that's involved, and a phrase recently that keeps coming up is, this is not happening to me, this is happening for me. So I'm not a victim, I'm a volunteer. I'm here by choice, and I've chosen this life. Now the question is, can I look to the future with optimism instead of pessimism? And I love your message earlier about the glass being full. It is full. And yesterday I was in an office and on the bulletin board there was a saying and it said, there is no path to happiness. Happiness is the path.
Right.
So when I see my life as a series of choices and I take responsibility for those choices, I begin to take all the victimhood out of it. I stop looking for someone to blame, which I believe is a form of distraction. And then I open to the highest possible good that can come out of every situation. And the other perspective of it is, what am I to learn from this? I come home and my wife or my husband says, I'm leaving you, I'm divorcing you, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't feel good.
Right.
That feels painful because immediately I go into my emotions. I feel sadness. I want to negotiate. I want to fix this. I don't ask myself, what can I learn from this? But over a period of time, as I heal from whatever the outcome is, I start asking myself, okay, what is the lesson that I need to learn here? Because I don't want to create this situation again. And if I learn the lesson, I don't have to. I don't have to go through this again.
Right. That's so true. Yeah, when you're in it, it's hard to ask yourself, what was my lesson in that? But when you go through the healing and as some time passes and some reflection can occur, you can ask yourself those questions and be open to the answers that you receive. Because we don't want to go through those things again because they're very painful.
I think another piece of this is that our words, as it says in the Prophet by Khalil Gibran, our words are the unrest of our soul. And when we go into the silence, we connect with the essence of our higher self. So things like silent retreats, meditation, they say prayer is when you talk to God and meditation is when you listen to God. So when we're in silence and we're listening, we get messages that we may not understand completely, but over a period of time, they start to make sense to us.
Right.
So I think the spiritual practices that we employ, whatever they are, because there are thousands of them, that's one thing to connect to the higher self, is in that silence. And another way to connect to it is what I call amplifiers. And they can be crystals, they can be tarot cards, they can be Atlantean crystal bowls, they can be music, meditation, prayer, you know, whatever amplifier you find that works for you, then I say, by all means, use it and use it frequently. Practice with it. If you feel calmer when you're painting or singing or dancing or whatever it is that you're doing, allow yourself to go into that space, and then the messages begin to come.
Right. And then the messages begin to come. It's funny that you said a silent retreat, because our lovely Ade was just at a silent retreat this last weekend. So I haven't had a chance to ask him about it, but I will after the show. But he was just in one. This is a question that I want to ask you, and I may want to ask whoever we channel also, but what, according to these light beings that you've been channeling now on a regular basis, what does the future of our planet look like?
Well, first of all, it depends on who you talk to.
Okay.
So the answer is going to be different depending on the source. But having said that, the majority of the higher level beings that I bring through continue to tell me that the future of this planet is incredibly optimistic, and that as more and more people begin to obtain and use and become unconditional love, which I know is a difficult thing to define, but as more and more of that happens on the planet is going to transform. And the other side of that is that, having said that I channel a number of different aliens, those aliens claim to have technology that can solve 99% of our problems, probably 110% of them.
Wow.
Literally in a matter of minutes.
Wow. So what are they waiting for us to catch up?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, they continue to say that unless and until we become conscious and aware enough not to use those technologies to destroy or hurt one another, then those technologies can't be introduced to us. But the moment that sort of quantum leap in consciousness takes place, then these technologies, which as far as they're concerned are antiques, they're ancient.
Really?
In other words, yeah, to them, these particular modalities, solutions, technologies, they are very, very old, so it's not anything that they developed yesterday. They're things that they developed long ago in their history, but we can't use them because they're so powerful that they could be used as weaponry. And
right.
Unless until we declare that we're not going to do that, they're not going to introduce them to us. Now, stretch yourself and your mind just a hair further and imagine that a bunch of us on this planet have possibly been aliens in other lifetimes.
I believe that. Okay.
I do as well. And believe or imagine that, and we'll probably lose half your listeners right now. But
no, not the ones from 1-2, we won't.
So,
go ahead.
So imagine that a number of us came from the future and came back into this world, into this life, in order to help set the vibrational frequency for this future to happen. And if that were the case, we would be feeling an awful lot of compassion for other people. We would have a lot of concern, not only for the present, but for the future. And we might be just a tad different than a lot of other human beings out there. So when we talk about connecting with our higher self, if we give ourselves permission not to go into our ego, but to remain humble, keep our humility intact, we can also connect with the greatness of who we are and who our soul believes we are.
Okay.
And then the thing that we're afraid of is responsibility. Responsibility for that greatness. And one of the things that I want to say, and I'm going to check out here any minute because I know your audience, yeah. The audience wants to hear from the other side. But the thing that I want to say is the only difference between them over there, the light beings, and mm-hmm. us is that we have a body and they don't. So they've said this repeatedly. There's no difference between them and us other than the fact that we are existing in this physical world. Now stretch your imagination just a little bit further and imagine that there are hundreds of thousands of beings who would like to be in this body on this planet because it's a fantastic place to learn. And as I said before, repeating myself, and I apologize, we are here to set the frequency for this planet. The unfortunate part might be that it doesn't happen in our lifetime.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up question. Do you think it's going to happen in our lifetime?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I don't believe that that's realistic. However, I am able to remain optimistic mm-hmm. because I believe it's going to happen for my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren.
Well, that's optimistic. I mean, that's something that's good to hear because I wish that I don't have children, but I wish that for my niece and nephew and their children.
You know? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's just amazing. Really quick before you go into just FYI, we're not taking a break, guys. So we're just going to go through the hour. Do you think there are, and I'm just curious because you work with them, that there are actual aliens living among us now walking around in human bodies that are helping to shift the energy of this planet?
Yeah, and I think you and I are two of them. They're called, in my experience, according to the Syrians, they're called hybrids.
Okay.
Hybrids live in human bodies. They don't necessarily have the ability to change into some sort of three-eyed, four-toed monster.
Okay.
Please stop watching too many alien movies. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, right.
human imagination is incredible and most of the time lends toward destruction instead of the happier side of things. Mm-hmm. But I believe that if you look around and you look into the eyes of the people that are your friends and your family, I think that a lot of times you get a gong or you get a clunk. And if you're getting a gong, they are someone that you're connected to. And if you get a clunk, they probably aren't going to interact with you very much. So the bottom line is, yes, I think there are tremendous numbers of us on this planet. We do not necessarily need to go into our egos about that. We need to remain, again, very balanced and very humble about it. We're here to be in service. We're here to use our gifts to be in service. And connecting to that higher self is absolutely important so that we can continue to create whatever it is that we're here to create.
Wow. That's so fascinating. It's just so fascinating. There's so much mystery that that you just wish that you could be privy to it, you know, in the deepest levels, you know, of like why certain things are the way they are and how it's unfolded and how it's supposed to unfold and, you know, with time. And you said some of us in the future have come back, you know, the theories that the past, the present, and the future are all happening simultaneously. There's all these different modalities that you can really go deep into this stuff. It's just fascinating to me.
Well, it is fascinating, and it's also, it can be a huge distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think grounding every now and then and getting in touch with what we're doing in our lives and making sure that we're 110% participating in that rather than going off too many tangents, because mm-hmm. we're fascinated by all these things. But they have a tendency sometimes to fragment us. And so once you find what you're interested in, I always recommend people delve into it 110%, mm-hmm. but also be aware that you have to be grounded on this planet. I mean, we have, unfortunately, some of us have mortgages to pay and car payments to make and
sure.
you know, kids to raise and grandkids to look after and whatever our particular responsibility is. So balance in this whole process is really the key.
I agree. I so agree. Okay, so I'm really excited. I'm just going to let you do your thing. And whoever comes through, I'm honored to have this conversation with. Thank you, Gregory. And we'll get back with you towards, you know, in a little bit.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Greetings. We are the one who is called the Master Teacher Spirit, and we are most honored to have this conversation with you. Please delve into your questions.
Hello and welcome. And you are the one called the Master Spirit. I just want clarification.
Master Teacher Spirit.
Master Teacher Spirit. Thank you, Master Teacher Spirit, for being here with me today. So I will dive into some questions, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Okay, my first question is, what would you want us as humans to know right now on our planet?
That your planet is making magnificent progress forward. And in many of your minds, you will immediately come up with all of the objections to why that is not true. But to understand, you only see the picture of what is in front of you depending upon what your senses are capable of processing. So remember that the bigger picture, the aspect of progress on the planet Earth, throughout what one might call the solar system, throughout the galaxies and throughout the cosmos, that is not necessarily available to you. You have a tendency, and there is nothing wrong with this, to focus upon the challenges and the issues in your own life. And then when you look outside of that life, you look at your television, you look at the internet, you look at magazines, you listen to radio, you watch all of the different stimuli that come into you, and you tend to see not that which is optimistic and positive, but you tend to see the most negative aspects, because that is what many in the media believe you are most interested in. But all of the donations that take place and all of the random acts of kindness that occur on the planet and all of the wonderful things that happen, those do not command your attention, like the train wreck where 8 people died or the automobile accident that tied up the expressway for 6 hours or whatever it might be. So we ask you to open to the possibility that your planet is moving forward in a very rapid manner.
Thank you. Because my follow-up question was that was with the so much division and separation that we are, as you say, being seen and focusing on in our world, how does one maintain any optimism at all?
The first thing you maintain is your faith. And that faith is in many different levels. Faith in yourself, faith in the people around you, even when there seems to be no reason for that faith, which is the definition of faith. Faith is the belief in something when there is no evidence to back it up. That is what faith means. So it is to understand that when you have faith in the people around you and you have faith in yourself, you send out a vibrational frequency that is higher than those who have no faith. Then you begin to attract to you higher frequency events, higher frequency people, higher frequency experiences. And when that begins to happen, you create a kind of aura, world, experience, energy around you And that energy means that the kinds of events that are very negative stop happening. In other words, you are creating a higher frequency in your mind, in your heart, around your body. And when that begins to occur, you begin to reap the rewards of that. You begin to create. We say what happens is the universe folds around you. And when the universe folds around you, your intentions and your desires begin to manifest. They begin to be created. And in order for that to happen, to connect with that higher self, you must give yourself permission to believe that you are a creator and that you are aligning with the creative force or energy in the universe, whether you call it God or Allah or Buddha or Jesus, even if you do not believe in it. Once you begin to align with it and believe in your own power, your own ability, again, maintaining the humility the man spoke of a few moments ago. Yes, you are great. Yes, you are able to create. Yes, you are powerful enough to create whatever you want. As long as you remember to remain in service, everything will come out perfectly. Because everything already is perfect. And that is another difficult belief to transform. When one believes in the perfection of the universe, one simply asks the question, what am I to learn from this? Not whom do I need to blame, not why did this happen to me, but what is the lesson I am to learn from it?
Thank you. That I have questions about that. So we'll start with, why is it so hard for us as humans to love ourselves and see ourselves as divine beings?
Baggage. You bring baggage into this life. What baggage? You bring lessons that are unlearned, and so you create events to help you learn them. You bring in attitudes. You bring in beliefs, you bring in experiences from other lifetimes. Although we believe in reincarnation, we are certainly not here to preach or, shall we say, persuade you that it exists, but it is our truth. And so the other aspect that occurs when you are born is that you are separated from that energy that is the divine force, and you begin to feel feelings of loneliness, sadness. Let us face it, if you were born and you are not a walk-in, and that is a subject for another day, but if you are born into this planet, your physical body has spent 9 months in a very warm marine environment, and now it is expelled out into a world that is cold and feels disconnected. So you begin to feel a kind of disconnect from the Creator. And then, depending on your lessons, you give yourself permission to condemn yourself and hate yourself for all of the things that don't go right in your life, or all of the things that do sometimes. And pretty soon, it is a situation of self-hatred instead of self-love. So there are a number of reasons for that happening. But you see, the moment that you realize that you are absolutely worthy and that you are all connected to one another and with all things on the planet, your entire outlook begins to change.
Thank you for that answer.
You're welcome.
I know this is a question I've heard from others and think of it myself sometimes. Are there any people who are truly evil? And if not, why do they do such evil things? And the planet appears at times to be so dark because we see so much evil in the world. And why does that happen?
Imagine that someone who abused you mentally, physically, emotionally, someone who disrespected you, someone who perhaps called you names, someone who abandoned you, some event in your life when you felt like a victim. Now go back prior to your birth and imagine that you actually arranged with that being to do that very thing to you so that you could learn some lesson from it. For example, someone you love abandons you. They leave you. Your lesson is to learn to love from within, that you don't need the love of some exterior or external being, human being, because you are connected to the divine and the divine loves you beyond belief. It is a matter of finding that self-love within you. And so all of these events that you are referring to as evil, if you take the judgment away, they simply are. They simply exist. There are consequences to them, of course. Healing must occur. However, they are preordained from our perspective in order to create some outcome that leads to a particular lesson. And when one can arise above the victim stance and ask the question, what am I to learn from this? And then connect to the answer, it makes life an entirely different experience.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it's difficult to grasp from the human perspective, especially the ego, especially when you see some people who seem to suffer so much and have so much tragedy while they're on this planet. How they would choose those lessons in the space before they came here.
Let us imagine that in many of their previous lives, they refused to learn the lesson. And so they have chosen a life of suffering and challenge and difficulty. But they can still rise above that if they give themselves permission to find the love for themselves that is necessary. Because you have free will choice on this planet. So, if instead of spending your entire day allowing negativity to flow out of your mouth, and you begin to say to yourself, yes, my cup is full, and even though I may not be a millionaire and not married to the man or woman I wish I were, or had the circumstances of someone over there across the street, in which case you are comparing your circumstances to someone else's, and that is the first thing you must stop doing. You ask yourself the question, what could I learn from this, and how can I change it? And then you begin to look for mentors, many of whom exist on this planet, who want to help, and you ask them for assistance. The first part of changing all of that is asking for assistance. And lo and behold, it is your higher self that you ask. You ask your soul to help you. But that means you must believe that you have one. And in many cases, and we are going to go into uncharted territory here for just a moment, think about your religious teachings. What were you taught as a child? Were you taught that you are all-powerful? Were you taught that you are divine and sacred and holy? Probably not. Maybe you've come to that conclusion, but it is not likely that that was the teaching unless you were taught in a situation that, how shall we say, supported that belief. And then, after you have come to the belief that you deserve, that you are worthy of having better, then you strive to create better. But you must be able to see beyond your circumstances. You must believe wholeheartedly that you are capable of connecting with that higher self in order for that to happen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I have more questions, if that's okay.
We have all the time in the universe.
Thank you. Why in 2019 are we still waging wars?
because that is human nature. And there is no better answer than that. And more specifically, because there are people who want to control others. There are people who believe that they have the authority, the right, and even the responsibility to garner the territory of others, to change their belief system, that their religion is inappropriate and therefore they will force their religion on them. There are many reasons for war to exist on the planet. However, when each and every human being on this planet believes that they are connected and that to harm another would be to harm self, they will absolutely shift. They will lay down their arms. They will see that there is no reason for weaponry on this planet, and they will embrace the person across the barrier line, so to speak, enemy lines, if you will, and they will join together in a truce, and that will happen. Absolutely certain that it will take place, and there are hundreds of thousands, millions of those on your planet who cannot believe that yet. But you see, the more of you who come and instill this higher vibration frequency into the planet, you force it to rise. And as it rises, ultimately, that conversation will happen in the hearts and minds of all human beings, and the quantum leap will take place. And then the technology that is necessary to clean up your planet and solve all of its issues and challenges will be introduced by the extraterrestrial factions, and everything will change. Mm. And your next question is when? And we cannot answer that question. We do not know. That depends entirely upon the consciousness of humanity.
Oh, okay. Well, I love that answer, and that gives me a lot of hope. So my question that follows this, which is a problem that we're having, especially here in the United States, how do we handle what is going on in our schools with the shootings? What advice would you give us collectively to solve this problem?
The reason that these shootings are caused is caused by disconnect. In other words, there are individuals within your populations who are disconnected from themselves and disconnected from others, and then they move forward into this process of destruction and murder and violence. It is important to begin to look carefully into the eyes of all of those who are attending these classes, into the eyes of all of the people around you. And when you find someone that seems to be shunned, someone who seems to be disconnected, take an extra step and do what you can to connect with them. Random act of kindness, speak to them, respect them, offer them a free cup of coffee. The man through whom we speak loves to go to the donut shop and buy donuts for all the people he encounters. And he doesn't eat the donuts because he's on a diet. But the truth of the matter is he loves to see people smile when he hands them a box of donuts. And it doesn't have to be donuts. It can be anything. So you see, the truth of the matter is these events are taking place because there are scattered examples of human beings on your planet who, for whatever reason, feel they must lash out at the other human beings around them. And unfortunately, it is going to take place. You must allow yourselves to feel as much compassion as possible for as many people as possible. And hopefully, when this change shift in consciousness occurs, these events will cease. And they are beginning to cease now. They are slowing down, so to speak. That is no consolation whatsoever to those who have lost their loved ones, and we feel a great deal for them. We know how difficult their emotion can be. Nothing can bring that child back. But there is one thing to remember. Death is an illusion. Death is merely a transition from one process to another. That is absolutely no help to one's emotions, and we are not pretending that it is. But understand that over a period of time, one can allow oneself to begin to see that possibility and can heal based upon the understanding of that loss. In other words, they can console other parents, other brothers and sisters, other aunts, uncles, grandparents, whatever they may be, because their loss is a mutual one. So once they have healed, and there is no healing, in other words, one heals a portion of it, but not all of it. But once one has healed a portion of it, one can offer whatever consolation they have through the understanding that they have.
Wow. Thank you. These are amazing. I just have a few more questions and then we'll bring Gregory back in because unfortunately, for time purposes, I can't go on as long as I want to. This is a question that affects me personally and I'm sure a lot of people. Why are we seeing such a rise in children coming into the planet who are being diagnosed as autistic? Are they really autistic? And what does that mean for our planet?
We are going to say that a number of the vaccinations that are being administered to these children are part of the cause of the rise in autism. We are going to say, however, that that is not the only reason. These are teachers, and they are teaching all of you that your, quote, normal, unquote, expectations of others have to be adjusted. In other words, you must take care of all of your population. You have a phrase on your planet, it takes all types to create a village. And these are teachers. They are masters that have come into the planet, and many of them have a massive amount of affection that they are not afraid of sharing. They may not be able to perform some tasks in your society that others can. But there are plenty of others in your society that can accomplish those tasks. So imagine the teaching that they bring to all of you. The teaching that you are not all the same, and yet you are all connected. And those who have limited mental capacity, they have no problem whatsoever expressing their love and compassion for others, no matter whom they are. So they are like little gods and goddesses coming into the world, teaching all of you that compassion above all else is important, instead of judgment. Instead of judgment.
I love that answer. Thank you. What is our collective spiritual path as humanity, do you see for us?
He mentioned it earlier. It is the divine blueprint from our perspective. Your collective path is to accept yourself and one another. No matter your religion, no matter your culture, no matter your country, no matter your race. And ultimately, when humanity gets to that point where they all accept one another, then entities from other galaxies, other races, will make themselves known to you, as if they haven't already, and you will be accepting them because they will have a great deal to contribute to the process of raising the vibrational frequency of each and every one of you. That is the collective consciousness of humanity and the rest of creation.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I muted myself. Just one question, and then I'll bring Gregory back. Are we at critical mass with our environment? Is our Mother Earth angry with us? And what can we do to help solve our environmental issues?
Your Mother Earth is not angry at you. Your Mother Earth is perhaps a tad disappointed. However, it is to understand that the Earth cleanses itself when it has to, and only when it has to. And things like hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and faults and things of that nature, sinkholes, whatever you can think of, those are opportunities for the Earth to heal itself. But to understand, the Earth is incredibly compassionate, and the Earth knows that the environment will be cleansed, and that there are thousands of people, millions of people, that are picking up trash and doing whatever is necessary to deal with climate change and all of the other aspects that you are seeing on your planet. For as much damage as seems to be done, there is double the amount of good that is being done. And there is one last thing we wish to share with you. Imagine that every footfall, every footprint that you leave on this planet is a gift to this planet. Imagine that you are so highly aware and compassionate and conscious that every time you place a step on this planet, you are giving it a gift. Your gift. The gift of your energy. Think in those terms, and all of the things that you want to do for this planet become less important. It is not about doing, it is about being.
Wow. I thank you so much for your time and your presence with us today. And I'm sure your messages have been well received by everybody who is listening. So I thank you so much. Thank you.
We do not understand time. We do understand presence. And believe us, you are most welcome. We leave you with a blessing, and the blessing is Ashahram. And it means all the best, and we add all the time. So be it.
Thank you. Wow. I'm tripping out. That's wild stuff. Wow. That was something. That was something. I don't know if Gregory is back yet. We only have a couple minutes. Gregory, are you back?
I am back.
Welcome back. I was so enthralled. I had myself muted. And I hear a day go, Melissa, are you there? I was like, oh, yeah, because I started talking. That was incredible. I don't know how much of it that you were aware of.
But very little. I hear bits and pieces, but very little.
Well, when you'll hear when you listen to the replay, it was amazing. And we only have a couple minutes. So really, there was a couple of people that asked for personal messages. And I highly recommend you book a session with Gregory, and you talk about whatever you want to talk with and connect with whomever you need to connect with to get those personal messages. I wanted universal messages. So Gregory, tell people the best way to find you.
The website is the easiest way to connect. That's www.gregorypossman.com. And if I can take a moment, I just want to mention that on the website, there's a free channeling meditation about connecting with guides and teachers. And if you go to the website and you look up meditations under products, you'll find a free meditation there you can listen to, and that will help you connect. Also, there's a shamanic journey on there by 10 Bears that's pretty incredible, and that helps connect with guides and teachers. And finally, we have a thing called the Mystery School, and those are channelings. The best of the best is what I call them, and they're channelings that you listen to every night in your sleep, so it doesn't take any time during the day, and that's another great way to connect. And the last thing I want to mention is if you create a space in your house your apartment, your condo, your flat, wherever you live, if you create a space where you place around you the things that you think are most important, the things that are most spiritual, meaningful to you, whatever you want to call it, and you start sitting in that space quietly, eventually you're going to connect with that higher self aspect of you. And that's really all you need to do. If you can't or won't do anything else, you can give that a try.
Thank you so much, Gregory. I know we're right at the top of the hour. You have no idea how much I appreciate it. Thank you guys for tuning into Postcards to the Universe with Melissa here on 1-2 Radio. We're changing the way we manifest in the world, and stay tuned for more amazing shows in today's lineup. Ciao, everyone. Thank you. Thank you.